BBC presents Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laidman Brown, Rosalind Knight, Jimmy LaValle, and starring Ted Ray.
Oh, it's nice and warm in bed this weather, isn't it? What's the time? Oh, 2 o'clock. Oh, I'm so restless, though. I shouldn't have read that latest scene at Blighton. Every time I close my eyes, I can still see Big Ears.
So can I every time I open mine.
Hello, darling.
Hello,
Pete. I didn't know you were awake.
Mm.
And please don't start a row in the middle of the night.
No.
Even the novelty of that doesn't interest me. Mm. Now, go back to sleep, dear.
Yeah.
Try counting some Australian sheep. Turn over on your side, dear. I think you've got an airlock.
Oh. Ted, you're awful. I know exactly what that is. You ripped the blower out in the kitchen boiler again. Darling, you just have to go down and run the hot water off.
Stop rambling in your sleep, dear. And I'm fed up with that boiler. It's forever blowing bubbles. Pretty bubbles in the airing cupboard.
Now. Ted, there's no hope for you. It's no use lying there making stupid remarks. You'll have to go downstairs and see to that boiler.
But it's freezing cold, dear. And there's a nasty hole in one of my bed socks. And even after years of research, I still don't know which is best to wear my pajama jacket tucked in or out.
Ted, when you've quite finished, that boiler is still acting up.
Dear, oh,
anyway,
dear.
It's not that cold, darling. Now go on, Ted. Get down there and fix it, will you, please?
Oh, very well. Boiler. It's like working on the Woolwich Ferry. Here I go.
What's the matter?
Oh, this lino. And you said it wasn't cold,
no.
Kitty.
Well, now that you're out of bed, Ted, will you pour me out a sip of water, darling?
Oh, all right, dear. Where's the jug? Hang on. I'll put it on a stick and you can lick it. It'll be the next best thing to an iced lolly.
Well, don't bother about it, Ted. Just go down and fix the boiler, will you, please?
All right, I'm going. To think that Hillary got a knighthood for less than this. And while I'm gone, roll about a bit and keep my half of the bed warm. Now for this boiler. I'd like to kick it. What did Kitty say? Drain the hot water off. Yes, and to you too. Well, that's that. I can't wait to get back to bed.
Oh, darling.
Hello.
Darling, will you bring me up a few dry biscuits and a piece of cheese?
Isn't it marvelous? You wouldn't fancy a cut off the joint and 2 beds? No trouble, dear.
Don't bother, darling. Just biscuits and cheese will do.
I don't know. Biscuits and cheese. Biscuits and cheese. Well, there'll be no celery. Not having that. Here's the biscuits in the tin marked flour. I might have known that. Now, where's the cheese? Oh, dear. Kitty, where's the cheese? Oh. I found it. In Mousetrap 1. Look at my big toe. It's turning blue. Well, Kitty had better like this after the agony I've gone through. Up I go again. Dear. Well, here you are, and I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I just felt slightly peckish, you know. By the way, did you make the boiler up again after you ran the hot water off, Ted?
Oh, that's great. Hmm? Oh, that's fine. This is a fine time to tell me. You know, I think I'll make up a camp bed in the kitchen. I'll be nearer my work.
There's no need to be like that. I'm not in any temper.
No, but you're in a warm bed. I hope you'll overlook the oversight this time, madam.
Oh.
Sorry and all that.
Yes.
Here I go again. Just look at that smug boiler. It's practically leering at me from the corner. Talk about an anthracite for sore eyes. How about that?
Kitty?
No, I don't suppose she wants to know about that. Now, where's the hod? Oh, no, it's empty. Now I've got to go out into the garden.
Oh! 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 Oh, this is worse than ever. It's like going into Charlie Chester's drawing room. And who's that? Who's that? I know you. Who are you? Oh, it's all right. It's the snowman I made yesterday. Now I'll fill this perishing hob. Oh! Now I'm locked out. She won't hear me. She'll have her head under the bedclothes again by this time.
Selfish, that's what you are, selfish!
What am I going to do? Oh, just a minute. I remembered. There's an oil stove in the greenhouse. I'll go in there and pull the cloche over my head. Apart from anything else, I've certainly made an early bloomer. I shall feel terrible in the morning.
Oh, this is terrible. What could have happened to my own little Ted, bless him? I should never have sent him down there on his own, never. Surely he couldn't have gone to the office without telling me. Of course not. Look at the time, it's only 5 to 10. Oh, that'll be him. It's got to be him. Well, where do you think you've been, you stupid... Oh, I'm sorry, it's you, Gloria, from the office. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Ray, but I mustn't stop long.
Tell me, Gloria... Is Mr. Ray all right?
Well, he can be quite fun. But actually, we haven't seen him this morning. Mr. Trumbull sent me round with an urgent message for him.
Oh, Gloria, this is terrible. What could have happened to my own little pet? I'm practically out of my mind with worry. And he can be fun, can he?
Well, only in the nicest, but certainly the nicest way.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, are you trying to tell me that he's disappeared?
Uh-huh.
Well, perhaps the poor man's wandering the streets somewhere or something.
Oh, no, Gloria, no. His violin is still on the hall stand. Right where he left it when he came in last night, bless him.
Well, shouldn't we ring someone or do something? Well, I mean, perhaps we should offer a reward.
Oh, that's very good. A reward, yeah, that's an idea. But I'm not missing him that much at the moment.
Where are you, Kitty? I'm on my last legs, as the centipede said when he stood up. Oh, good. Help at last. There's a St. Bernard. My mistake, it's old Mother Harris looking over the fence.
Kitty!
Gloria, what was that? I think I heard Ted's voice. It seemed to be coming from the garden.
Don't look now, Mrs. Ray, but there is a figure in a dressing gown wandering about out there.
There is?
Yes.
Gloria, it's Ted. I'll go and get him. Oh, this way, darling, this way. Oh, my poor wee baby. Who left you out on the step, honey?
Kitty?
Yes, darling.
It is, Kitty, is it?
Yes.
What a night I've had. Oh. Heaven knows what happened to the rest of the party. Williams went first. He went mad with frostbite.
Oh. Well, come in, Ted. There, darling. You're all right now. There.
Mrs. Ray, yes. I do believe he's in a delirium.
Well, it's better than being in the greenhouse. Kitty, I must know.
Yes.
What happened to Stevens?
Oh.
What happened?
He's raving, Mrs. Ray.
Well, not if I know my little boy. He's just enjoying the cuddle. Ted, please tell me what happened.
I got locked out and spent the night in the greenhouse.
Oh.
Even my green fingers have turned blue. I went to sleep with the dahlias and woke up frozen to the marrow. It's taken me hours to get it off.
Ready, you better come back to the office with me. Something terribly urgent has cropped up.
As I thought. I'd better hurry, Kitty. It's decisions all the time.
Yes, Ted, but there is one little thing before you dash off, darling.
What's that, darling?
Well, you were out in that garden all night and you still didn't fill the hod.
Women.
Mr. Ray. Now, are you sure you're feeling your old self again?
Yes. You're there, you with the stars in your ears.
Yes.
Yes, darling. I'm back to normal.
Oh. So that's why we're heading for the filing room.
It must be the homing instinct in me. But I'm all right, Gloria. Here we are back in the office, and I could tackle anything.
Ray, step into my office, Minister.
And there's a back I'd like to tackle.
What was that, Ray?
I was just telling Miss Jackson that I'll have no slap and tickle. That's it. I like that bit.
Oh, fiddle-faddle. I have someone in here I wish you to meet. An important French advertising agent.
I never knew the French wanted advertising.
Oh, shut up.
Anyway, it's about time I got some recognition round here.
Well, that's not my idea, Ray, I can assure you. Never let it be said that Trumbull is Stark's staring bunker. Now, do hurry. Oh, I'm so sorry for the delay, monsieur.
No, that's quite all right. I had the same thing with British Railways.
Watch your French tongue.
Ray! Remember where you are.
Well.
Now, let me introduce you to monsieur... Monsieur...
My card.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very pleased to meet you, monsieur... 49 Rue de la Paix. Funny name.
We have a droit one here.
Oh.
That is where I live.
Oh, yes?
I moved there only recently from the Rue de la Foch.
That's Paris for you. I guess it was somewhere rude.
Ray, do kindly keep quiet a minute. Monsieur Dubois is over here on his first visit to London.
Oh.
Naturally, he wants to see some of the sights. So I thought I'd start with you, Ray.
Thank you for nothing. Just because I'm one of the ruins that Trumbull knocked about a bit.
Pardon. May I be permitted the word?
Oh, certainement. Who said that? Who was that? Who's the ventriloquist? What?
Mon père, c'est héros sur les assidus, suivi d'un seul usage qui les met entre tout, pour sa grande bravoure et pour sa haute taille.
Well, you could have fooled me. Mind you, it's the same over here, but they mustn't move.
Oh, I knew something like this would happen. Ray, I have a slight favor to ask you. Monsieur Dubois does not wish to stay at an hotel.
Oh.
So I thought that you and your charming wife could accommodate him.
No, that's right. I wish to rough it.
You know, if this fellow isn't more careful with his cordial, he gets a right kick in the entente.
Naturally, Ray, all expenses will be borne by the firm for sightseeing, traveling, entertainment, and so on.
Oh, well, we'll certainly live it up. There's 2 and 11 3 in the petty cash. If we hurry, we can both get into the pictures before 3. Brigitte Bardot is showing. And, monsieur, what Brigitte Bardot is showing?
I've not heard of her, or perhaps she's a straight actress.
Straight actress? That is the understatement of the year. Anyway, monsieur, we'll sort something out. You can come home to my place and meet the wife. Boy, oh boy, am I going to have a time with this character. If he's never heard of Brigitte Bardot, he must know some very interesting people. Well, Dubois, Hobart, a boy. We'll stop here. This is where you wanted to come? I can't think why.
You must excuse me. I've not yet got my breath back.
Oh, well. You'll soon get used to the tandem. Or, as you would say, a bicycle made for dirt. I'll make some money out of Trumbull's expenses if it kills you.
Oh. I really am going to enjoy this morning.
What, in a museum? Mm. For heaven's sake, it's like walking around Vic Oliver's gag library. Anyway, if you want to see this museum, let's get it over with. All right, now, what do you want to look at first?
Oh, the skeletons of the prehistoric animals now. Ah, this is a superb specimen of an infant dinosaurus.
An infant? He was a big lad for his age. The skeleton's 40 feet high. Doesn't appear to be very firm either. Look at this loose leg here. Oh! 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 That's torn it.
Oh, I wish you hadn't done that, Mr.
Herbert Toil, what are you doing in a museum, apart from looking at home?
Well, I'm in charge of the Assembling Ancient Animals and Skeleton section.
I say, that's a big job all on your own. Haven't you got any help?
I'm the skeleton staff.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you for nothing, you old fossil. There's no doubt about it, Toy. You'd make a fine bone idler. You would.
Oh, thank you, Mr. I. But for the past 15 years, I've been busy assembling. That pile of bones you just knocked down.
What animal? What animal was that, Monsieur?
Oh, at last, a fellow Brontosaurus lover. Oh, well, I'm very pleased to meet you, Monsieur. Yes. Mind you, now, this is one of the few female Brontosauruses known in the trade as the Charlotte Brontosaurus. Yes, there's no doubt about it. You get some humour in bones, don't you? Dry humour.
What a skeleton to have in your cupboard, eh?
Please, now. Well, I suppose that I've got to start assembling this Brontosaurus all over again now. Oh, dear. Oh, what a pity my Rosalie isn't here to help me.
Your Rosalie. Some help she'd be. On the other hand, she'd make a good model for you. She looks like Bronte's double. Yes?
Yes. Yes. Oh, Rosalie. Oh, I think you. She'd make a good model. Looks like Bronte's double. You are very rude, ain't you?
And there was I thinking you were enjoying it. So long for now, Herbert.
Hello, Mr. Wright. Get well soon. Oh, I'll be getting on with my work then. Here we go, pick the bones up. Now, the femur bone connected to the clavicle bone. Clavicle bone connected to the coccyx bone. The coccyx bone connected to the... Oh, you know, don't look right to me, so...
Such a wonderful day I've had, Mrs. Ray. Mm-hmm. I did so enjoy our visit to the museum.
Oh, well, I'm very pleased to hear that, Mr. Dubois. Well, I haven't been to a museum since our last wedding anniversary. Now, Mr. Dubois, about dinner tonight, I'd like to prepare something really tasty, naturally. Tell me, have you any favorites?
No. Please, Mrs. Ray, you mustn't put yourself out for me.
Oh, it's all right.
But shall we start with a little saumon fumé, and then possibly consommé de tortue, followed by a little riz de veau, then poulet rôti avec légumes assortis, and to complete this snack, perhaps a portion of poudin de semoule. Huh? Or, as you English so delicately put it, semolina pud.
Well, I'm with you there, Mr. D. I'll just have to knock up a very big semolina pud.
And there was I looking forward to Endersby Hot Pot. Oh, but just a minute.
What?
I've got an idea.
Uh-oh, and we were doing so well.
You haven't heard it yet.
No.
We'll all go out to dinner.
Oh, we can.
Let's face it, Trumbull's paying for it.
Yes.
What's the name of that new restaurant I saw advertised in the paper? It's really expensive. Mm-hmm. Even the waiters are so well-dressed, they give the diners an inferiority complex. You put your bonnet on, dear, and I'll phone for a table.
Wouldn't it be better to phone for a taxi?
Don't confuse me, dear. We are really going to do things in style tonight.
Oh, my, Ted, this place is really something. Where's our table?
Dead center, of course, Kitty. I ordered it. You wait till the cabaret comes on, Dubois. All those fan dancers.
Well, I'm afraid I don't agree with such things, no.
You don't?
No.
Well, I'm not fussy, but their fans do cool the soup. Ah, well, here we are.
Ted, wait a minute. Have you seen the menu? The prices they charge here, darling. Looks like the National Coal Board's balance sheet.
We should worry. I keep telling you, this lot's on Trumbull.
Oh, yes.
Now, where's the waiter?
Mm-hmm.
Garçon! Garçon! Wait! Where
Where is everybody? All I can see is this weird-looking thing with a stack of plates. It must be a dumb waiter off its trolley.
Do you mind? My name is Sidney Mincing, and I happen to be the head waiter of this fish and clip joint, and we'll have no whistling when you get the bill, Emporium. Well, now, what can I stew for you, then?
What can you stew for me? Now, look, Mincing, I think we'll have the chef's speciality, and in the meantime, you can put some champagne in a bucket.
We do supply glasses, you know.
Watch yourself, Mincing. Your tip is in jeopardy.
I knew that from the start.
Down, Mincing, and keep your place. Naturally, we'll have the various wines throughout the meal, and after the brandy, you may bring us two cigars.
And what about Madam Knight?
She'll stick to her pipe, mate.
Oh, charming. Mr. Dubois, you simply can't take this boy anywhere.
Oh, well, I'll be going to get your order now. Fred, turn the oven up. We got the trippers in.
Well, Mr. Dubois, this is going to be some evening, and I'm really in the mood for it.
Oh, look, Mr. Ray, what a pleasant surprise. You didn't tell me you had invited other guests. See who's coming across the floor towards us now.
Gee, it's Mr. Trumbull and Gloria, darling. What can they be celebrating?
Trumbull?
Uh-huh.
Where's my napkin?
Oh, well, madam and you, sir, I will go to the kitchen and get your order immediately.
Ah, Ray. And Mrs. Ray. And Monsieur Dubois. This is indeed a pleasure. Quite the host, aren't you, Ray? At the firm's expense. By the way, Monsieur Dubois, I don't believe you met my secretary, Miss Jackson.
Oh, charm, my dear. One of your English roses.
Oh, I say! How sweet, but simply sweet of you. Please meet.
Well, now, in the circumstances... may we be permitted to join your table?
May we?
That's what he said, may we. I don't know what's going on. Well, I wouldn't bother, Mr. Trumbull. We're only having a very quick sort of a bite, you know. Nothing expensive, you know. Well, I mean, after all, I'm not the kind of a fellow to take advantage of a generous boss and his expense account.
Well, I'm relieved and glad to hear that.
Excuse me, please. Here we are, then. That's right, Louis. Round this time.
Hey, what?
Ferdinand, you can handle the wine. Andre, uncook the champagne. Give it.
Hey, Mincing, Mincing. Yeah. You've got the orders mixed up again. You've come to the wrong table.
What is all this, Ray? Roast duck? Several items out of season. A whole saucepan full of scampi.
I can explain everything. Mister, you know very well I distinctly ordered 3 beans on toast.
It's hardly worthwhile opening a tin for 3 beans.
Now, look. I am not going to accept responsibility for your forgetfulness, Mincing. Take all this junk away. Mm. I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, waiter. That'd be quite all right. Just serve this meal to the next table. I'm sure Miss Jackson and I could do justice to it. And Mrs. Ray, I'm sure you will join us too.
Well, thank you.
And Monsieur Dubois, you will do me the honor?
Yes, yeah, Monsieur.
Good. Well, come along then. No, there's no need for you to stand up, Ray.
But just a minute, Trumbull. What about my dinner?
Oh, I'm sure that you will enjoy what you ordered. Beans on toast. We'll see you later, Ray, after your blowout.
Here's yours, then. You haven't come out very well on this, have you? The beans are cold and the toast is burnt. You just have to make the best of it, Nissan. Gracious me. I wonder why you try this sort of dodge, you know.
Thank you, Mincing. It looks wonderful. I must say you've arranged the beans like an artist. Scrumptious. You burnt the toast just how I like it. I'm not letting Trumbull think I'm having a miserable evening.
Come here.
Yes?
I'll bring you a cup of cocoa to wash it down in a moment.
Cocoa? What year? Oh, no, I'm quite full up, thank you.
Is it? Come here.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll slip you a bottle on the side and I'll put it on Trumbull's bill for you.
Oh, you will? Yes. There's a pal, Mincing. I won't forget this.
Oh, he's quite an expert at wine, you
really?
Know.
Really?
Oh, by the way,
yes?
Did I ever tell you about the time I won a diploma for winemaking in France?
No, Mincing, you never did. Regale me with it.
Certainly.
Good.
Yes, have another bean.
No, I'm a glutton.
Please.
Sorry.
It happened in Armentieres a long time ago.
You're sure it wasn't Monterey a long time ago?
Oh, no, 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 no. No. No, it was the Armentieres.
Yes.
It was quite an achievement, you know. It was a new kind of light dinner wine, a sort of Moselle.
Oh, I'm with it, Mincing. Was it bottled in cans?
No. Armentieres.
Oh, yes.
You don't listen very well, do you?
Sometimes.
I suppose you could say that I was the first man who ever...
Mincing, I'm really with it.
You are good.
You should be judged for this. You should be.
Don't you think I know the danger I'm in, Blake? You see, as it turned out...
Yes!
I was the first man who made the Moselle from Armentieres.
Well, now, Mrs. Ray, that was a charming thought to ask us back to your home after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
What dinner?
Teddy, you going to stop eating that bread and dripping?
I'm still hungry.
Oh.
Well, it was the most delightful evening.
Yes.
Mrs. Ray, I don't want to break anything up, but I really must be going.
Ah, yes, sir, so we mustn't impose upon you any longer, Mrs. Ray. Mm-hmm. I'll drive Miss Jackson to the station.
Right.
I didn't think he'd hang around much longer. He usually disappears about the same time as my port.
Come along, Miss Jackson. Good night, Monsieur Dubois. Thank you again, Mrs. Ray.
You're welcome.
See you in the morning, my little gourmet. Eh, Ray?
I'll open the door. I've got to do something. I can't trust myself.
Oh, dear! Mr. Trumbull, the fog's come down again. You'll never be able to drive in this.
Oh, yeah.
Bang goes that other bottle of port I've hidden.
Well, there's nothing else for it, Mr. Trumbull. Looks like you'll both have to stay here tonight. Now, let me see. About sleeping arrangements. Gloria can share with me.
Yes, that's enough.
Mr. Dubois can have the spare room. And, Miss Trumbull, I'm afraid it means roughing it for you, but you can have Ted's camp bed in the kitchen.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
Uh-huh.
I do hope I'm not putting you out.
Not at all.
Kitty,
mm-hmm.
You've got everything nicely arranged, haven't you?
Yes, Ted.
It's very nice. But tell me, where does the bread and dripping winner sleep? Or haven't you got round to that little thought yet?
Well, the oil stove's still going in the greenhouse, Ted.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, good night all.
Good night.
I'm being bedded out again. I'll take my sentence quietly. 8 hours in the glasshouse. I'm not really sure who it is, but somebody's done it again.
That was Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laidman Brown, Rosalind Knight, Jimmy LaBelle, and starring Ted Ray. The program was written by Bernard Botting and Charles Hart and produced for the BBC by Leslie Britmont.